hey, friends, welcome again. Another day, the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Getting some more stuff for you guys this morning. Had a great show with Doug last night. I don't remember, quite frankly, how many purple sticks I had before I got on the show. It was one of those nights. I was pretty.
So what you're telling me is you have a purple stick hangover today.
Purple stick hangover. Not really a hangover. I just,
how many melatonin you have to take?
Five.
That's a melatonin hangover. 15 milligrams of arsenic.
End up working out after the shows. I couldn't sleep. But you know what? Got you guys a great show. I got pretty intense on there. So, you know, I'm not going to apologize. But just
did the veins come out on your neck?
I had veins everywhere.
You do have veins everywhere.
It was a good show, though. Went a lot of stuff. I'm going to cover some more of it today as we're finding out more things. But make sure you guys are staying up to date on the podcast and one of the big kits that we've just put together.
It's a big one.
It's because we found these two products, as you guys have tried them, if you have tried them, you know, the magnesium brain food and the GHI cleanse.
I'm taking that right now, and I threw a purple stick in with it.
That's what you see him take every day on the show. But this is pretty much a say no to brain fog kit. It's designed to really cleanse and recharge and refocus, get your body refueled, detox it, and also get the inflammation down while giving your brain the magnesium thionate to really open it up and get that cognitive functioning going and then cleanse out your body and get the inflammation down. And on top of that, while we're doing it, well, I got one in here. We went ahead and threw in one of the free shakers with the kit on top of the discount.
You're giving my shakers away?
I'm giving your shakers away. I got a whole bunch of them. I just got another batch in.
That's wrong.
So we got the kit together on sale, throwing you a free shaker, and because of the price on the kit, you're getting free shipping on it. I can't do much better than that, guys. That's a pretty big heck of a deal.
That's enough. What do those shakers retail for?
Like $19. They're hard, man. They're beefy.
That's a $20 discount on a shaker and free shipping.
And a discount on the kit. So, again, be sure to check it out, guys. Lots of stuff we have going on, but this is definitely one of those big kits that I know. Doug loves it. Everybody that I know tries it single-handedly. If you're really trying to get your body under control, get inflammation under control, detox it, and you don't want to have to take a whole plethora of stuff, this is the kit to get, one and all, and you get the shaker that I've tested.
Shaker works great. Oh, by the way, this Trump-Epstein grand jury and Congress, it's all starting to get kind of interesting now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of – I covered some stuff on Doug last night, and the more I keep seeing it, you know, Congress comes in yesterday, and they say, we're not – 2 days ago, we're going to recess early. We're not going to vote on this whole Epstein thing. Then suddenly out of nowhere, this the judge comes in and says, we're going to deny the DOJ request to unseal the Epstein grand jury transcripts. We're done. We're denying it. We're not doing it. From the 2005 to 2007. And then suddenly, and again, I'm not speculating on any relation of these. I'm just saying it is.
I mean, Epstein is dead. Why would they seal those transcripts? He's gone.
And why wouldn't they unseal them?
Well, because people are in there that they don't want to know about.
You got an individual that's allegedly dead from charges back 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And you want to have them unsealed. And they're saying, the judge says that essentially the 12-page order, Judge Robin Rosenberg denied the government's petition to unseal the transcripts, saying that the Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit doesn't permit her court to grant such a request. She argued the DOJ was not sufficient to comply with an exception of the rules. So you have an individual that's dead. This is a 20-year-ago trial, and they want to unseal them so we can actually see what happened. And they didn't. You didn't produce enough sufficient evidence for us to unseal them, so we're denying it.
You know, I'm not making any speculations, nor am I accusing anyone of anything, but you always wonder about Swiss bank accounts.
Yeah.
And wiring transfer monies. Just thought I'd mention that. Oh, by the way, the Epstein lawyer says the truth. And he came a little bit short of what I talked about yesterday about everybody getting strip searched and meeting in a cave in Afghanistan.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, but he got pretty close to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Epstein lawyer Maxwell will try to make a deal with Trump. Here we go.
Yep.
Alan Dershowitz is certain an agreement will be made and claims convicted sex offender knows everything. Ghislaine Maxwell attempt to make a deal with the Trump administration with Trump government officials visit her in prison. But they're going to have to make sure they run a Faraday cage and basically sweep that place for basically bugs. Jeffrey Epstein's former lawyer claimed. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche announced he would meet the convicted sex offender in the coming days to find out if she has information. God, this is so stupid. Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. But this is so stupid. This is so stupid. Remember, she's in prison for this, okay? Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche announced he would meet the convicted sex offender. She's convicted of being a sex offender with children. She's convicted. In the coming days, to find out if she has any information about anyone who participated in Epstein's sex crimes. She's already testified to that. They already sealed
it. That entire jury trial on this that they sealed.
And she got put in prison for it.
Well, here's,
so obviously she has information.
Well, no, here's what I told Doug last time. We had a big discussion on this topic. There's, again, a speculation. So if it happens, it happens. It doesn't, it doesn't. But in my opinion, it appears that they're setting her up for some type of pardon and also to have an excuse to say the Epstein files doesn't exist. Now the files don't exist, everything's sealed, it's a giant hoax. All she has to do is come back in and say, I was confused, I plead the fifth, I don't know anything about anything. I don't know anybody who's involved in anything. I don't know anything existed. I plead the fifth. I have no idea. Just suddenly they go, well, we told you guys,
there's
nobody involved. This should have been a mistrial. Why'd this girl get convicted? Why'd this happen? Nobody was involved in trafficking nobody to nobody. So we just release her. Did suddenly they release her? Nothing happened?
She has a first-class flight to Ben-Gurion Airport.
Anything she wants.
Yeah, anything she wants.
And then the media has the ability to come in and say, see, we told you so. The FBI said nobody was involved. This was just a mistake. She shouldn't have been in prison. Epstein's dead. She's released. There is no file. Everything was a giant hoax.
She's going to make a deal with the Department of Justice. Alan Dershowitz, the Harvard law professor previously represented Epstein, said, that's the way things are done. They make deals with the mafia. They forget about what happened when that ship got sunk at the moorings in New York City. You guys look it up. I'll bring it up. I'll look up the name of the ship. I forgot the name of the ship. They sank a ship at the moorings in New York City during World War II. They said it was basically some type of treason, some type of German guy had come in and, you know, sunk this ship. And there was a guy, it was a mobster they'd already deported to Italy, who had been running the docks in New York City. They brought him back to run the docks again with organized crime to keep the people, the saboteurs, from coming in and sinking the ship again. I'm going to look it up in a second. I'll tell you the names of it. Sometimes I can't remember all of these little details. That's the way things are done. They make deals with the mafia, so I'm certain they're going to try to make a deal with her, he told the New York Post. Maxwell was subpoenaed by the House Oversight Committee on Wednesday to give a deposition from prison on August the 11th. The facts and circumstances surrounding both your and Mr. Epstein's cases have received immense public interest and scrutiny, James Comer, chairman of the committee, wrote to Maxwell. You know, what's wrong with these people? Oh, you've had a lot of scrutiny about what you said. Duh. Mr. Comer said the committee is seeking her testimony to inform the consideration of potential legislative solutions to improve federal efforts to combat sex trafficking. No, they're not.
They're
not. Shut her up. And reform the use of non-production prosecution agreements and no plea agreements in sex crime investigations. In other words, we made a mistake with you. We need to let you out.
That's exactly where they're going with
President this. Donald Trump continues to battle the biggest challenge of his presidency, the fallout from his refusal to release all of the information the U.S. government has on Epstein. The political storm is something of a gift to Maxwell's lawyers. Duh, it really is. Who attempted to lean on Mr. Trump during a previous conviction appeal, describing the U.S. president as the ultimate deal maker. Mr. Dershowitz, who previously called Maxwell the Rosetta Stone of information about Epstein, which she is, added, she knows everything, not just about the perpetrators, but the victims, and she knows about the victims who became perpetrators.
She's the one that procured the girls. She groomed
with Donald Trump's first wife.
Yeah, Melina.
Using Mar-a-Lago. Don't forget this stuff. You guys look it all up. Maxwell has two potential avenues for having her sentence reduced or eliminated. The government could file what is called a Rule 35 motion to request her sentence be reduced by a federal judge based on conduct, including cooperation with the government.
There you go.
But any request would have to be granted by a federal judge. And Maxwell's case is being overseen by U.S. District Judge Paul Engelmeyer, who was a representative by Barack Obama. The other option was see Mr. Trump himself commute Maxwell's sentence or grant her a pardon, which, as the U.S. president, he has the unfettered power to do. Mr. Trump has not been implicated in any allegations of wrongdoing, I may add, yet. But his close relation with Epstein, his best buddy, his wingman, has come back into focus since the DOJ ruled there was no client list. On Tuesday, Mr. Trump said he was facing a witch hunt as he faced mounting pressure to order the release of the Epstein files. Well, if he's facing a witch hunt, why didn't he just release the files?
I'm telling you where they're setting this up for. They're setting this up for a full pardon. She's going to go in a full deposition. She's going to say, I don't know anything about anything. I was set up. I was framed. It was all a Democratic hoax to throw me in jail.
Attorney General Bondi told Trump his name appeared in the Epstein files. She wasn't supposed to tell him that. The disclosure came as part of a broader briefing on the reexamination of the case of Mr. Epstein, who died in 2019. He never died, by the way. I don't believe that for a second. Awaiting trial on sex trafficking charges by FBI agents and prosecutors. It was made by Ms. Bondi during a meeting that also included the Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche and covered a variety of topics. Ms. Bondi frequently meets with Trump to brief him on various matters, officials said. So now we're getting her involved in this. And now South Park has come out with this next show.
Oh, boy. What do you do now?
This is funny. Now I'm going to read you what it says. Okay, I know it's going to be crude. You know it's South Park, and you know it's crude. South Park on this newest episode for the next season skewers Trump in his teeny tiny manhood.
Oh gosh!
Less than a day after the creators commented, what I just did. In case you wonder why I just did this, this was a ease up segue. Because the other stuff was so negative, we're making fun of it now to make a joke of it. Because you got to do, it's like Mel Brooks said, you know, he did Blazing Saddles, or he did the other one, the producers. He said, I've got to get everybody mad about everything all the time and make a joke about everything. Otherwise, what ends up happening, everybody gets so depressed and disgusted with it, they don't want to watch the show. So we're doing this. So we're going to watch South Park skewer Trump on his teeny tiny manhood and Epstein. Less than a day after the creator of Comedy Central South Park reached a reportedly $1.5 billion deal with Paramount, Matt Stone and Trey Parker dropped a bombshell episode to kick off the 27th season that depicts Donald Trump with a minuscule penis and in bed with Satan. He's in bed with Satan, too.
Gosh, dude.
South Park is out of control sometimes. The premiere episode arrives the week after CBS' abrupt decision to end The Late Show, which Stephen Colbert has hosted for a decade. In 2026, while the network claimed the cancellation was financial, it drew backlash since the announcement came days after Colbert criticized Paramount, that owns both CBS and Comedy Central, over its decision to agree to a settlement with Trump. In the 30-minute episode titled Sermon, that has likely Paramount and Skydance banging their heads against the wall, Stone and Parker jab at Trump's obsession with using lawsuits to silence the media and political opponents. ChatGPT, the injection of religion in America's public schools, government censorship, corporations caving to pressure. I'm not going to read what this says. Eric Hartman says about learning NPR was being canceled. The government can't cancel a show. I mean, what show are they going to cancel next? In one scene, the president is depicted laying in bed with a poorly, well, and trying to seduce Satan, as the series regular tells Trump, I can't even see anything. It's too small.
South Park's ridiculous, dude.
I'm just reading you what it says, and I've censored it when I said this morning, so we may have to throw an R-rated series on this one too today. But the crazy part about it is that this is what's going to happen. And what they do is they always want to lampoon the people that are in politics. They've been doing this now for over 100 years, and they always want to, you know, draw light to the people and make jokes of them, because if you make a joke out of them, you make a joke out of the administration. Just going to say that. Remember the movie Gladiator, Austin?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember? The general was Maximus. And they said, he can't kill you yet. He has to kill your name first.
Yeah.
Remember that?
So if not, make a martyr out of him.
Because otherwise, you martyr the person. If you have a person who's the top ever, like Maximus was, and you kill him, you've martyred him. But if you make him minuscule, yep, and the emperor himself comes out and defeats him, then all of a sudden now you've destroyed the name before you destroy the person. They're not martyred.
Let me say, you're going to have a riot on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
You kill him in front of everybody. He goes, you're going to have a riot. Mm-hmm. Rome was very, if you have read any history about Rome, that was a wild place, man. They always, they had a republic, but they always teetered on this edge of just getting wide open all the time, man.
I think it was Luciano. Let me look this up while you're doing your next story about the ship that got sunk. I've got it on the tip of my brain, but I can't quite remember.
I got a big health story I'm going to cover here in a minute.
Yeah, so
I
need to do your health story.
Okay, well, this is an interesting deal. This is one of the reasons why, and I'm not giving anybody medical advice, but I am telling people, I've always said this, look at all the options if you're starting to have issues. There's a research study that just came out now about chemotherapy and cancer. I'm going to cover this right now. It says, research shows that chemotherapy significantly alters the DNA and accelerates aging in healthy cells. It says that chemotherapy can leave behind changes in healthy cells that affect the person's health years after treatment. It says in the study, they looked at a three-year-old cancer patient's blood cells after he had had, I think, 10 sessions of chemotherapy, and they showed the genetic wear of an 80-year-old, highlighting new evidence that life-saving drugs leave lasting damage in healthy cells. That chemotherapy permanently damages the DNA of healthy blood cells, causing them to age prematurely and potentially increase patients' risk of developing secondary cancers year later, research shows. This would tie into the reason why, and we've all seen it. We've had friends, family, whatever, that have gone under chemotherapy treatment. And then suddenly it's strange because they get the chemotherapy in remission basically right before they die. The chemotherapy almost kills you, which is what it does. And then a couple years later, they have cancer pop back up again. And this is constant revolving cycle of it in most cases. And a lot of times it's also, too, because the person goes back to doing the same type of behavior as far as food intake, diet.
Exactly, same behavioral patterns.
It says, but the damage to the DNA lasts a lifetime. It says the probability, the biggest concern is the increased risk of other cancers developing as exposure to prior chemotherapy. That's one of the biggest beefs that I've always had, and I've talked to people when they're dealing with cancer, and I never give people medical advice over it. I say, you need to make your own decision. But when you watch the same thing occur, because chemotherapy, it doesn't just kill cancer cells. It doesn't just wipe out cancer cells. It wipes out everything, and now we're finding out here that it causes significant mutations in the blood and causes all types of long-term genetic issues later on in the future. So I just want to cover this, not to give you medical advice, but to give you the facts of what this treatment does. Because in most cases, people that undergo chemotherapy treatment are never told how deadly and how long-term effects are going to occur. With
chemotherapy comes from the toxicity of mustard gas from World War I.
Really?
There's derivatives of that. In most cases, not all cases, sometimes they're different. But that's how they started the chemotherapy. They started doing injections of a type of mustard gas that they had used in World War I, which is unbelievably deadly.
They got banned
from warfare. What it does, it's supposed to attack fast-growing cells. And it does. But it attacks everything.
Yeah.
And so what you end up with is you get chemo brain fog because your brain is being destroyed, too, because you're basically being given all these poisons.
That's why hair falls out, too.
Yep. Well, because hair follicles are fast growing.
Right.
And so what the problem we have is that, you know, I'm not telling you what to do with a cancer treatment protocol. I'm not giving you any advice at all about that. Follow what your doctor says. But I'd get two or three different people if I got involved with cancer, and I'd make sure that I was following a protocol from somebody who was a naturopath who basically was giving you an alternative to chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery first. Because most of the time, if a natural program is going to work, it'll start working pretty quick. That's what I'm saying. But I'm not giving you any advice whatsoever. You do what you think you need to do, because a lot of the clinics that provide natural programs down in Mexico are scams.
Yeah.
Period. I'll just let you know that, too. The USS Normandy.
Okay.
Okay, that's the ship that was sunk. Now, I'm going to give you a little. Now, this, I was talking about Dershowitz saying that we make deals with the mafia, so why wouldn't we make deals with, you know, Ghislaine.
Right. Ghislaine Maxwell.
That's the segue here, because we're going to go back to the sinking of the U.S. Normandy. Now, here's the thing. On February the 9th, 1942, this is right after Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Now, it's December the 7th, 1941. Crowds gathered at New York City's Pier 88 to witness a spectacle. The largest ocean liner in the world, which was being refitted to carry troops, was on fire.
Okay.
Firefighting efforts successfully contained the fire after 5.5 hours of effort. The effort was in vain. 5 hours after the flames restricted, the vessel rolled on its side and settled on the bottom of the Hudson. Ship done.
Jeez.
Largest ocean vessel, the fastest one ever built, supposedly, and they destroyed it. And it was going to be used as a troop carrier. The SS Normandy was a star-crossed ship intended to be the pride of the French people. She was designed to be the height of shipbuilding technology and modern culture. Her first-class passenger spaces were decorated in the trendiest Art Deco style and filled with luxuries. The radical new hull design, with a subsurface bulb beneath a clipper bow, a long sweeping line, led her previously untouched speeds while requiring far less fuel. She even had one of the earliest radar sets ever used by a commercial vessel, improved safety for passengers. Unfortunately, they were never going to be used. The Normandy was put into service during the height of the Great Depression, a sign of her future. On scheduling the wave, she kicked up and smashed through hundreds of onlookers. No one was injured in the incident. Okay. The French Declaration of War in Germany in September of 1939 found the Normandy in New York tied up alongside. Remember, Germany, France, the Clyde War in Germany. This is a French ship. It was tied up along Pier 88 in spite of the loss of 28 American lives. German U-boat torpedoed the Athenia on the first day of the hostilities. The United States remained neutral. Authorities immediately put Coast Guard troops on board the Normandy to protect her. Now, but they still, it still was basically destroyed. Now, here comes Operation Underworld. Here we go. This is what they, this is with Meyer Lansky. Now, he had already been deported, you know, back to, the, I think it was Italy, because he was a Jewish mafia guy, and he was so bad they had to get him out of the country. He was a United States, Operation Underworld was a United States government code for the name of his cooperation with Italian mafia and Jewish organized crime figures from the 42 to 45. The operation aimed to counter Axis spies and saboteurs along with the northeastern seaboard ports to avoid wartime labor union strikes and limit theft by black marketeers. Remember, he had been deported. They brought him back. In the first 3 months after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, December the 7th, the U.S. lost 120 merchant ships to German U-boats.
Wow.
And in February 1942, the SS Normandy was a captured French ocean liner that was being refitted as a troop ship. The Lafayette in Port of New York caught fire, capsized, and sank in the Hudson, allegedly sabotaged by arsonists. Mafia boss and one-time Murder, Inc. head Albert Mad Hatter Anastasia allegedly claimed responsibility for the sabotage. According to Jewish mobster Meyer Lansky and Charles Lucky Luciano, one of the bosses of New York's Mafia Five families and the founder of the American Mafia's Condition. Now, what happened is the United States came in and hired these guys to come back in and stop this from happening. To cover Lansky's activities, Hoffenden also approached Lansky, who had previously been had broken up pro-Nazi American Bund rallies, including one in Manhattan's Yorkville neighborhood. He solicited Lansky's help in reaching Lansky's partners, Luciano, who had been tried, and Luciano had been tried and convicted in 1936 for compulsory prostitution and running a prostitution racket after the district attorney, Tom Dewey, had investigated for years and was serving 30 to 50-year sentence at Denamoria. Luciano agreed to cooperate with authorities in hopes of consideration for early release from prison. In addition, Lansky and the Jewish gangsters wanted to revenge for the Nazis' oppression of the Jews. Luciano and the Mafia also wanted revenge on Benito Mussolini. I'll let you guys read all this stuff. This is right on Wikipedia now. If you're going to fuss at anybody, read it. You fuss at the quick Wikipedia. But here's the deal. This is what Dershowitz said. The government went and got in bed with the mobsters right here in Operation Underworld and did what they needed to do to protect the ports in New York during World War II. So that's why Dershowitz said they'll do the same thing again to protect the government with Ghislaine Maxwell, Austin. And so that's why he used this. Now, he didn't cite this as the precedent, but he said got involved with the mobsters. So that's what I believe he was talking about, because he would have known this history. So this is some pretty seedy stuff. So don't think our government is all, you know, without suspect here as far as what they do and what they get involved with it. If you don't believe that, let's step it back to 2020 and the, quote, insurrection at the Capitol, in which all of these people got locked up in prison, many of them for up to 4 years, and finally were pardoned by Trump, which he could have pardoned before he left office. He had 20 days to do that, but he didn't do it. Actually, he had 14 days to do it. He could have had the pardons drawn up for all of this stuff. He didn't do it. So the reality is this. What are we going to say here? What are we going to do? Is our government culpable in this kind of stuff? Look at the Kennedy assassination with the CIA and the mafia. All of this stuff's been going on for a long, long time. And I've told you guys repeatedly, the entire planet is run by organized crime. Done, period. And they run it through the banking systems. They run it through these different cartels. They run it through the importation of drugs. They run it through the 1,000 lily pad bases that we have that allows us to import drugs and all kinds of other things, including human cargo from other countries, and the child trafficking networks that are all over the world. All of this is basically facilitated through organized crime. And when you watch movies like Taken with Liam Neeson,
yeah,
and his daughter is basically stolen, you know, when she goes to Europe, to be sold into sex trafficking, and then you see the Romanian mafia and all these different mafias that are out there that are so powerful, and what they do in the networks and how they affiliate themselves with the police departments, it's mind-boggling. The problem is, this is not hyperbole. This happens all of the time. That's why when you travel to places like Romania, or you travel to places that are bad, you need to avoid certain areas, and quite frankly, you don't need to be going there by yourself to start with. You need to be there with a group. Just saying. What do you think, Austin?
Well, yeah, the government, I mean, It sucks. I mean, after you see how much the government's involved, and I think that one movie they depicted on there with Frank Lucas, American Gangster, it's a bit of a graphic film, but it talks about in detail about Frank Lucas being involved with the mob, bringing the heroin through Vietnam, through the caskets. It goes into detail in that movie. And all this stuff is just common knowledge.
Yeah,
now. And that's the thing. It's like you see it more and more and more. I was just reading up on the whole thing.
Look at the one movie we have, Sicario.
Oh, yeah.
Again, another horribly graphic movie, but basically
But it shows you exactly what they're involved. So when everybody thinks the American government, the deep state, is going to play fair and they're going to allow Ghislaine Maxwell to sit down in front of an open deposition and drop names and talk about details and talk about events and talk about people that are involved. You complied. You gave us information.
Let's role play.
Okay.
We're going to role play.
Okay.
Here's the deal, Ghislaine. You know, we're in this Afghanistan cave right now, and it's been swept for bugs. And, you know, and what do you remember? I remember everything. I remember getting involved with Epstein, and I remember his best buddy was Donald Trump, and I remember watching them pick up these young girls, and I actually facilitated.
Are you sure you remember everything?
What do you mean?
Are you sure you remember everything?
I think so. Why?
Or do you not remember anything?
Are you telling me that something I should remember?
I think it's best you don't remember anything.
What's just speculative? What would happen to somebody who remembered?
Yeah. Well, you would never leave this Afghanistan cave. You'd find yourself hung accidentally, suicide.
So basically, you'd suicide me from a 3-foot bunk? Or I can basically not remember anything?
No.
So what we're saying here is,
I don't remember anything.
I'm going to do Schultz. I know nothing.
Yeah.
I made it all up.
Yeah.
This never, ever happened. And the American population will look at you and go, my God, we know she's lying. She knows she's lying. She knows that we know that she's lying.
The government knows she's lying.
Everybody knows she's lying. But now she's...
Now it's on record.
But now she just recanted her entire testimony.
And now she's under oath saying she remembers nothing.
And now she knows nothing. Oh, bless her little heart. Now she's in jail. Bless her heart. She didn't do anything. What about the 1,000 girls that kind of disappeared? What about the temple that was on the island? Where did all the girls go? What about the girls, about 7 of them now, that are dead or committed suicide?
Well, the thing that irritates me so much about this entire topic is, you know, the government wants to play this victim role half the time. Oh, you know, we had arsonists, or we had insurrectionists at the Capitol. We've got to extradite everyone and drag them back to D.C. and throw them in a gulag for years because they walked around the Capitol and walked up the stairs.
They got on the grass.
Okay, we had thousands of young girls, underage girls, that were raped and sold into child sex prostitution through Epstein. Oh, well, you know, guys, we're just not going to... That topic's so negative. Let's just forget that
and
ever
it's so
happened.
Old. Why do we care? You know,
why are we even bringing this up? Who talks about that creep anyways? Dude, what happens to justice for the girls? What happens about bringing to light what happened to them? Why is that not even a topic that one even wants to get addressed? It's funny how the federal government always gets to pick and choose what's important for them to prosecute. You've seen that before many a times. You get some groups, you get these mob groups. Oh, we're going to cut a deal with them so they can help us out. You get other people, they get caught in St. Cloud because they took a rifle stock and put it on a brace of a Scorpion pistol. And then a confidential informant from ATF took a photo of them at a gun range, and ATF got a warrant and raided their house. Guy had never been in jail before. Never robbed a bank, never displayed the firearm. It was actually an FAA individual, worked for as far as air traffic control. Got 3 years in a federal penitentiary in St. Cloud because ATF deemed it so. Who's the victim? Because he swapped a stock on a brace on a rifle that was his, legally, my opinion. He broke no laws. Oh, but he did break a law because we deemed it so. Now he's in prison for 3 years and a convicted felon because ATF's the victim? The government's the victim? Who's the victim? It always is ironic to me how they love to play victim and pick what they want to prosecute and what they don't want to prosecute.
So here's the deal, Ghislaine. You're going to be asset free.
Yeah.
And we're going to give you a first-class ticket to Ben-Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv.
If you remember nothing.
Or you're going to just not leave the cave.
Yeah.
And we're going to, it's so funny. There's that one movie that it's called the Jersey Boys, right? And so, you know, all these guys were involved with mobsters back then. And they actually openly show that in the movie.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you got the guy who basically the head guy from the Jersey Boys, Frankie Valli, and his daughter gets into drugs with the wrong guy. Right? And so all of a sudden he hires this hit guy to find his daughter. Okay? So this guy's like 6'8", about 350 pounds, and he is muscled up.
Yeah.
He's a monster. So he sees the daughter sitting there with this bum, giving her drugs. And he goes, come with me. Your father wants to talk to you. And I'll give credit to the little to the bum with the drugs. He goes, who do you think you are talking to me and taking my girlfriend? I'm paraphrasing this. And he goes, you need to shut up before I snap your neck. So he said, and I'm like, oh, that's to the point. And the guy's, he's kind of really slinks away. The crazy part about it is, it's kind of like that. You need to shut up before I snap your neck.
Ooh, yeah.
That was a segue. You know, and so what's he doing with the Jersey Boys? But think about that. When you got these mobster people, they don't really care who you are or what you think you are or what you have or what you don't think you have. If they're told to hit you, they hit you, including the President of the United States.
Well, no, that's what I pulled up. When you're talking about the whole thing with what happened with the
Normandy.
SS Normandy, I was clicking on it, and they said they attributed it to the individual Albert Mad Hatter, who was involved with the American-Italian mobster, was a hitman. And basically, he was the one that allegedly was involved with burning that thing down. And I mean, he's got a rap sheet of murder charges. I mean, just one after another, after another, after another. Ended up getting killed.
After you killed 20 or 30 or 40 people as a hit guy,
it's just a
do
job.
You think you really care about who you kill next?
No, that's the problem with these guys. It just turns into just a job for them. So I mean,
anyhow, so now you know why Dershowitz said, hey, the government makes deals with the mafia. Why won't they do it now?
Well, and then, like I said, I brought up earlier, Roy Black, the prominent defense attorney who helped secure Jeffrey Epstein's plea deal in 2008, you know, he died in Coral Gables beginning this week.
My there you go.
To him. But he was getting older. He's 80. He had some health problems. But it's ironic when you start crossing all these timelines, and all of a sudden he was the main one who helped secure Jeffrey's deal in 2008. Suddenly he passes away now. Suddenly the Supreme Court, or not Supreme Court, this federal court says we're not unsealing the documents, and it just goes on. But another topic I wanted to address, I told you guys I was going to talk about it today, because this is something that's starting to become very, very prominent. A lot of parents are starting to acknowledge this. A lot of families are starting to acknowledge this. And this is now a new study that came out. It says smartphone use in kids under the age of 13 is linked to depression and suicidal thoughts. Significant problems. The newest published study shows using smartphones.
I've got a segue for this.
Oh, yeah. It damages mental health. This is the Journal of Human Development and Capabilities. It just came out. It says they looked at this now, and children younger than 13 that use smartphones. This wasn't even just going into social media. This was just getting a smartphone and having access to a smartphone. Said they had significantly higher rates of suicidal thoughts, poor emotional regulation, lower self-worth, and detachment from reality compared to another group that did not have any phones. They're seeing a direct correlation with this now. This isn't speculative anymore. They said specifically the negative mental health symptoms strongly linked to early smartphone usage include not just suicidal thoughts and detachment from reality, but also aggression and even hallucinations. In addition to lower self-worth, early smartphone ownership was also linked to diminished self-image, confidence, lower emotional resilience among females specifically, and lower stability, calmness, and empathy among males. And it goes into detail in this study here, and one part of it on another one, I want to pull this up. It says, listen to this. It says, girls given smartphones before age 13 reported lower self-image, emotional resilience, and confidence among girls who had smartphones by ages 5 or 6. Reported severe suicidal thoughts, 48% increase compared to 28% who received their phones after 13. I'm going to say this. I'm just going to ask this question really directly. Why in the heck are you giving a 5 or 6-year-old open access to a smartphone? Are you that dumb as a parent? I mean, have you done no research whatsoever? Have you heard no studies?
These are the same people that eject these kids 76 times, too, Austin.
Some people are just stupid as a box of rocks. You can't fix
some people, you talk to them about it, and they don't even listen. They don't want to hear it.
No, and the issue is, and I've talked about this in detail, is that in young kids, they don't have the ability to separate reality from fantasy.
Theta brainwave state.
They can't do it. And so what happens is when they sit on these phones, they sit on YouTube, they sit on Instagram, they sit on Snapchat, all these stupid apps all the time, and they sit there and scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll. They're getting so much dopamine, and the receptors are so clean at that early of an age. Because at that age, when you get kids 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 years old, their bodies are developed by God Almighty to get reward system through dopamine and serotonin through activities that they accomplish. Oh, I built a dirt jump on my bicycle. I'm going to try it. I helped build a fort. I built a tree house. I got a good grade in school.
I have a Barbie house that I put Barbies in.
Right. You have, and that's why at a young age, you have these really vivid memories of certain things that were really big deal and you had a lot of fun with, because your dopamine and serotonin receptors are so open and clean. So when you have an event like that, your body's flooded with emotion. You have a great time. You have great memories. And you have this fantastic recollection of it, of a good memory. The problem what it's doing with is now, A, it's killing the memory concept of the brain. These young kids have almost zero retained memory and short-term memory now. They can't remember anything because they're sitting there scrolling through Instagram or Facebook for hours on end. Photo, 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 every half a second to a second for hours. So what happens is their brain can't process all that information. The dopamine is being so heavily flooded that when they actually do something in reality, oh, well, that's boring. This is exciting. I'd rather be on my phone scrolling through and looking at makeup tutorials and looking at vehicles and looking at whatever else stuff they look on there, some stuff they shouldn't be looking at. And then they start having this unbelievably disconnected function of reality. Well, I see this kid, he's got this vehicle, and I see this girl, and she's so pretty. And all they do is see these doctored up social media photos in a reality.
A lot of them are AI.
A lot of them are AI. They don't even exist. And the kids have no ability to understand what's actually going on. And so it says right here, it says delaying smartphone ownership to at least 14 is highly recommended now across the entire board. Limited delay social media access until 16 is highly recommended. This is smartphone user guys for children.
You can't do that. You can't go 14 and tell them not to use the phone. They're going to be on
No. The difference is smartphone ownership is what they're saying.
Not let them have a 24/7.
Not let them have one 24/7. And or if they need a phone, you got to go in and basically you get, because I know somebody's got one. You get some phones you can use.
Okay,
let's text and talk without internet access.
Let's scroll it back a notch. Got a 5-6-year-old little girl.
Yeah.
She's watching Faith Hill or not Faith Hill. Who's the latest, greatest thing that Disney put out or whatever? You know, you got Miley Cyrus. You got all these girls.
I don't know, but these
little girls, they like hero worship.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, and they see somebody that, you know, they want to be like that person. They want to have the wig. They want to do this. They want to do that. And suddenly they see this girl who's 5 years old. They're 5 years old. This girl's all famous.
Right.
And so they think that's reality.
Right.
And they want to be that person. And so they're 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, still in that theta brainwave, say, well, that's not me yet. Why is that not me?
Exactly.
Well, I'm going to kill myself now. 48% increase in suicide? Yeah. That's pretty serious.
That's horrible, dude.
Okay? And so the problem is they think that they're going to be all that, and they're not.
We've never seen numbers like this in young kids.
What happens is it creates unrealistic expectations of what life is supposed to be. So suddenly, you know, you think you're going to be all that by the time you're 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14 years old, and you're not. So you get deeper into social media because now you want to be more like those people that you're watching. Yeah. And so it's swipe left, swipe right, swipe left, swipe right. And pretty soon you start going, oh, wow, this is awful. My life sucks compared to everybody else. Okay? Now, here's the problem that you run into with this. When people see that over a long period of time, they become changed on the inside.
It's true.
They no longer see things from a realistic standpoint. They only see things the way they want to see them as a perceived basis, not from a realistic standpoint.
Yep.
In other words, they want to be Miley Cyrus. Okay? They want to be who's the one who used to sing?
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. They want to be Taylor Swift. Well, they don't even think about the fact that all of this stuff is orchestrated. I'm just going to shift back to the dating thing for 1 second, because the same thing is true with dating with adults. When you see profiles on dating apps, a lot of times they're AI generated now.
Oh, yeah, or heavily edited.
There's one girl who sent me her a picture of herself, and I said, I don't believe this is you. I think this is AI. And she goes, LOL, you don't believe it's me? I said, nope, do not. Not unless I have a video chat with you, I don't believe it's you. Because I think this is completely doctored up. Block, delete. She blocked, deleted me.
No, yeah.
Because she wasn't real.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing with all of this stuff. You think, well, why is it this way? When you have kids that hear and see this stuff over and over and over again, it starts to program them.
For years.
Then they become suicidal or they become depressed. And then when they're 22, 23, 24 years old, they're like, well, my life's not what it was supposed to be. And they have nobody to blame. But the parent.
Yeah.
It's the parent's fault that I'm not super successful like Taylor Swift right now. I'm 22 years old and I'm angry. Well, I'm going to be mean to my dad. I'm going to be mean to my mom. I'm going to be mean to all the people that raised me because it's their fault because I can't accept responsibility. So it's not that they're angry at themselves. They're angry at the person who didn't allow them to become what they thought they were going to be.
Based on unreal
expectations. And yep. So what happens is when my kids were all young, I said, you can forget the phones, man. That ain't going to happen. And we didn't give it to them. And then I found out that all my friends were giving their kids phones.
Yeah.
And some of these children, some of these girls, some of these kids got involved with heavy pornography at the age of 10 and 12 because of the smartphone use. And that, you want to warp a kid's brain, you stick that to them. And now they don't even know if it's a boy or a girl or anything else. And now transgender stuff, all the weird stuff, is all okay with them now because they're being programmed. Remember, and when they're in that phase, they start being programmed that way. It's almost hard. It's almost impossible to extinguish it.
Right.
So now you're taking them to church, but boy, when they're not at church, they're on that phone. Well, be careful with that
stuff.
This is
why, like, I've had so many friends that I have now that are parents, because I'm in that age bracket now. All of us have watched now this younger generation's unbelievably warped aspect. So most of the friends of mine, none of their kids have phones yet, unless they have essentially the flip phones or basic cell phones that you can still buy. You can add minutes on to them if they need to be able to get a hold of you. That way they still have that phone. They still have that, I've got a phone, I've got a status. Heck, some little flip phone razors, those were cool, man. I liked those back in the day. And what it does is it gives them that ability. They still have a phone when they're 13, 14, 15, 16. They can call you on, but they can't access the internet at all because some of those phones, they have zero internet capabilities. That is the way you basically try to take a different direction with it.
Now, I had somebody send me two videos today. I'm going to talk about it for a second. The first one says how to date the right way, and it talks about how you don't date people based upon what they say. You base them on what they do and what their behavioral patterns are and what their patterns have been for the last 10 years. In other words, anybody can say anything on a dating app, but you don't date them for that. You date them based on the patterns. If they've had a relationship and they break up with their girlfriend or boyfriend every 30 days, and it's been like that for 10 years, that's a pattern. It's going to be difficult to have a relationship with them, okay? Now, I could play this, and we may pull this up for tomorrow's show. It's pretty good. But then there's another one that's very good, and it says, this guy says, we call out toxic masculinity, but we ignore toxic femininity. Now, this goes right back to what Austin talked about here, being programmed at a young age.
Yeah.
A lot of young girls have a unrealistic expectation of what they can achieve in life, including who they can date.
I want to say something. This is really important. One of my good friends of mine, he works out with me all the time now. He's a great guy, really got me, supported me on a lot of stuff. And he said something to me the other day, and it clicked with me. Because I told him, I said, I like to take Kendall out about once a month on a daddy-daughter date. And I mean, I told her, I said, get dressed up. I open her door for every which way. I pull her chair out for her. I get a nice dinner. I take her to a nice restaurant. I mean, I do the works for her, like once a month. And he goes, that's incredibly admirable. He goes, do that every single month. He said, but also, Austin, you're showing her the way she needs to be treated by whatever guy she's going to date in the future. But also teach her the way she needs to treat her man as well in the future, as far as being a good, godly woman and having different features. He said, because here's the problem we've watched now in society. Everything's been so triggered to how the man's supposed to treat the girl, what the guy's supposed to do, how he's supposed to provide, how he's supposed to protect. And suddenly, there's never a single topic of how the woman's supposed to take care of her man in most cases now. As soon as that topic even gets brought up, oh, you're misogynistic. Like, you can't
say that. Toxic masculinity.
You're toxic. And, it's funny because I read an article the other day, and it was talking about that whole Coldplay concert with that the guy's married, the girl's married, they're cheating on their spouses, they get caught on the kiss cam. And he goes, it's ironic. He goes, did you notice everything's been about the CEO cheating on his wife and how bad her life is now and how he ruined their marriage and how he did this and this and this and this and this. He goes, have you noticed there was not one single topic brought up on media, social media, anywhere about how the husband of the cheating wife was feeling and what it did to their marriage and what it did to their life? He goes, nobody referenced that man at all. Nobody's even brought him up. It's all been about how the CEO's wife felt because she got cheated on. Not discounting the fact, not justifying. That was a stupid, sloppy incident. They both should not have been doing that. But it's funny how it was all geared towards the CEO's wife and how she needs to take him for everything he has. And he did this. And nobody even knows the guy's name. Nobody's
no, I never heard of him.
Nobody talks about him. About the guy that had his wife, basically on a kiss cam and got cheated
on. It's so funny.
I thought that was interesting.
You're right. Because you see a profile and they say, if I'm going to date you, you have to be a millionaire. Now, I'm going to be very, very blank with you guys here. This is very honestly. You have to be 6'2". you have to work out, you have to own your own companies, you have to be able to freely travel around the world first class with me on a private jet, and you have to have black hair and blue eyes with a full head of hair, and you have to have a six-pack abs. And if you don't have that, don't contact me.
I mean, that's pretty...
Well, no, I mean, I look at it, and I see stuff like that, and then other ones will say, if you don't worship me like a goddess... I need to read you some of these profiles. If you don't worship me like a goddess, don't contact me. And, you know, and I sit back and I look at this stuff and I'm like, where do they think they're going to find the guy who's going to be 6 foot two? I mean, they're talking about like a Christopher Reeve now, right? You'll be 6 foot two, black hair, blue eyes, super good looking, super rich, workout, and suddenly you're going to find this person. Now, remember, this person is 5 feet tall. She weighs 450 pounds.
With four kids and four baby daddies.
With four kids and four baby daddies.
I'm sorry. I had to throw that in there.
And you think, well, okay. So now, I wrote this morning after I got all these texts in, right? I said, you know, all these people contact me, send me these videos. I said, it's all based on character.
Yeah.
Everybody has the potential for both good and bad. We all determine what we see and don't see in another individual. Our filters can become biased if we don't have realistic expectations and our search for a significant other, causing us not to base our judgments on patterns and behavior, but on unrealistic expectations that have been programmed into us by social media and entrenched dogma from our past relationships and experiences.
There you go.
I wrote that this morning. That's a Ted Brewer quote. You guys want to write it down. And that's exactly what we see. We have all these people that have been programmed by social media and entrenched dogma from past relationships. Well, Johnny did me bad. Mary did me bad. Therefore, you're going to do me bad. That's entrenched dogma and experiences. Therefore, I'm going to make sure before you do me bad, I'm going to make sure that I cut this relationship off.
Well, here's the factor that you just said that is very true. Most cases previously in society, these incidents didn't start happening until you really got mainly in your 20s.
Well, at least in high school.
In high school, right. High school, 20s, 18, 19, 17, 19, 20. Now, with this social media at such a young age, you're getting kids that are experiencing these events online. It's 6, 7, 8, 9 years old with cyberbullying, with different topics of people DMing them that they shouldn't be, talking to certain people they shouldn't be, viewing certain things they shouldn't be. And it's skewing their brain and skewing their development at such a degree, at such a speed that these kids are turning into early teenagers and they're completely and totally warped and confused. And it's very difficult to come back out of that. So that's why it says right here, what's an alternative to smartphones for young kids? Parents can choose flip phones or basic phones with no internet connection, as it is highly recommended now. Does early smartphone use affect children's health? Early smartphone use is now directly associated with higher risk, depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, and decreased emotional resilience. They have now determined this now after the last 10 years of research. There is no question about it. Giving a child an open smartphone before the age of 14 causes significant psychological damage to them, period. There is no, well, I'm just going to keep an eye on them. I'm going to take their phone occasionally and check on it. I'm going to have a parental guide on it. No, there is no exception for this now. I'm letting you guys know this in advance. If you are a parent, if you're raising kids, please do your due diligence with this and watch it. Because if not, we are going to have a society of complete and total weirdos.
No, we already have.
We already have.
No.
You haven't seen nothing yet. Social media didn't really come about until Facebook and also MySpace back in their mid-2000s.
I'm going to say this again. This is important. You know, they're 5 feet tall. They weigh 400 pounds. They've got four kids from four separate daddies. They're on all kinds of psychiatric meds, brain meds, all kinds of other problems. And they want their 6 foot two, black hair, blue eyed superstar. And they really think they deserve that. They don't look at but their behavioral patterns, and it goes the same way. The guy is 100 pounds overweight, and he's broke. He's living on the basement, you know, the basement of his parents' couch, and he expects to date a supermodel.
Yeah.
It's both directions, and the problem is it's swipe left, swipe right. Okay, I don't like this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. I like this one, this one, this one, this one. And you're going, wait a minute. Where's the reality of meeting somebody and building a relationship? In most cases, it's not even possible any longer with the younger generation, because what they found is they can just swipe left or swipe right and find somebody else in seconds.
Well, yeah, and the other issue, too, the factor is, too, is because they're so detached from reality, these younger generations are, they really get no pleasure or enjoyment out of actually having meaningful relationships. Because in most cases, and I've seen this now, even going out and going out with friends, you'll go somewhere and there'll be a table of people, especially younger teenager, or not young, younger adults, and there'll be four or five people, and every single person at the table is on their phone.
Nobody's even talking.
I've witnessed this a lot, especially if you go out to the areas like Tampa and Orlando and stuff, and you look at it and you go in, and it's like, I mean, most of my friends, when we go out, unless I got a business text or I got somebody, I'm responding to something with the kids, I don't play on my phone. I have no need to play on my phone. I'm there to meeting. I'm there to dinner. I'm there to converse with my buddies and talk about different things in business. I'm not there to play on my phone. I can do that any other time of the day. I'm going to focus on the conversations with them. And that's something that is completely and totally eluded.
And so what happens? So what happens next? Here's what happens next. The woman can't find the guy she wants. The guy can't find the woman he wants. So the guy doesn't know what to do because the role plays are different now.
Yeah.
Society is different. So the guy decides he's going to let the wife, the woman, support him, and he's going to be the princess and get his princess bracelet.
Princess bracelet.
We covered this yesterday. You think that's fake. It's not. And so now he wants to be the little sissy boy.
Yeah.
She's going to be walking 15 feet in front of him. She makes the money. He sits at home and raises the children, which in some cases it has to be that way because one person's a doctor and the other person's not or whatever. And you start to have that, but you have that skewed version of what reality is. And suddenly he's somebody's little biatch.
That's true.
I'm sorry. If that offends anybody, I apologize. And so now the woman who wants a real man, she sees this guy. She goes on a date with him and he's wearing a princess bracelet. And he's making her walk on the outside of the road, and he won't open her door, and he expects her to pull his chair out for him, and he expects her to make the money and her to pay the bill, because he's the princess now. Because he got so frustrated with society the way it is now, it's so skewed, he just gives up. He says, okay, you want me to be your biatch, I will be that for you. Have fun. Let me take care. You take care of me now for the rest of my life. You could support me, and we're going to go down the road with this. And the wife, because she's been trained by the Frankfurt School and cultural Marxism, says, yes, I'm going to do that. I'll support you. I'll make the money. And the guy sleeps on the couch and becomes obese. I've seen it, Austin.
I know you have. It's getting bad.
and you're like, the lady says, you mean you're paying the bill? Well, yeah, it's only $20. I don't have to split it? No, you don't have to split it. I've got the $20. I'm good. Well, you're the first person that didn't make me pay the $10. And I'm like, who have you been going out with? She's been going out with the product of the society and what they've developed through what you're talking about right now from using cell phones for the last 20, 25 years.
Bro, we haven't even seen it yet.
No.
Because remember, like I said, social media's inception's really been prevalent for about 20 years now. That's it. 20 years. So, you know, I was the generation from the 80s that grew up with zero cell phones and zero social media. And then you have the full swing to the generation now where whatever this is behind Generation Z, it's strange. But I do want to give another health article in here to give everybody a reminder why it's so important. Speaking of 50-50 and half and stuff like that, 48%, going to drop it a little bit, 48% of Americans have magnesium deficiency, key research study shows now. It said the diets of people in the United States provide them less than the recommended amount of magnesium. According to the NIH, Americans consume less than the recommended amounts of magnesium. In fact, 48% of Americans, all ages, ingest less magnesium from food and beverages than even the minimum recommended by the NIH, which is like for a grown adult, like 420 milligrams a day. That's like the base minimum. It's like when they say you need 80 milligrams of vitamin C today.
I take at least 1,000 milligrams.
Well, no, they say like you need like 100 milligrams of vitamin C, which prevents scurvy.
I take like 6,000 milligrams.
Right.
A day.
And so what they're saying is that 48% of Americans, all ages across the board now, are essentially deficient in magnesium. And they said here's a few things that really makes the population vulnerable that started to have so many health effects. And magnesium is one of the key factors tied into
over
it.
300 biochemical reactions
in
the body.
It's crucial. That's why the magnesium brain fast. That's why I put it with the doggone GHI.
And I also take magnesium glycinate with that, our magnesium capsule product
every
day.
This has glycinate in it, too. So that's why, and that's why it's such a good standalone. It says individuals, the elderly population, generally have a very low intake of magnesium. Individuals consuming alcohol, So just if you're drinking alcohol, even on a semi-regular basis, it really tears up vitamin D and magnesium. It strips it out of your body. So if you are doing that, or you're trying to get off of it, you're going through AA, whatever you may be dealing with, make sure you're getting really large doses of vitamin, magnesium and vitamin D. Secondly, individuals suffering from certain conditions, gastrointestinal problems, Crohn's disease, celiac disease, all these interfere with magnesium absorption, so you got to make sure you're taking higher amounts. Individuals, certain medications like proton pump inhibitors, we talked about the other day, also diuretics, flush magnesium out of your body. High-performance athletes, we already know. If you guys are operating, if you're training, if you're fighting, if you're rolling all the time, if you're in MMA, if you're motocross, you're racing, I don't care what it is, any high-performance athlete sports, you're going to burn magnesium through. Make sure you're taking really high doses of it. That's, we all know that in the gym. Individuals with poor dietary regimen. So most people that are eating junk food, high-processed food, which is like a huge portion of society now, low magnesium. This is crucial to prevent magnesium deficiency in your health, which is linked to all types of problems. So make sure you're getting these proper supplements at high clinically relevant dosages, like in the magnesium brain.
And
food.
They keep the veins and the arteries and the capillaries and the venules healthy. In fact, here's an article, swollen ankles and blood clots, how unhealthy veins could kill you, with news that President Trump has chronic venous insufficiency. An expert surgeon explains something and everything you should know about vein health. And let me tell you something about vein health. If you don't have proper veins, you can't have proper return back to your blood, to your heart.
Exactly right.
Okay. And so the way you maintain that is you maintain vitamin C, because it's the collagen that holds everything together. And you take the collagen support, and you take the vitamin C and the collagen support and the ultimate multiple powder. Those are the ones you've got to have every single day if you want to maintain overall vascular health, and vitamin E, because it helps keep the blood thin, and cod liver oil. I take all of this stuff every single day, and I tell you what, I don't have any swollen ankles. I don't have any of that stuff.
And then you can also, too, as far as for circulation, if you're having issues with blood pressure circulation, when you get your magnesium up, you get your vitamin C up, you can also use one of the small round trampolines.
That works great.
That works great. And they have them now. You can buy them online where they actually have handles on them if you need to be stable, if you're having balance issues.
You can buy, a lot of times you buy those things online for used.
Well, they're even the new ones. I saw somebody asked me about them the other day, and I looked them up for them. They make so many of them now. They're actually quite cheap, even brand new. They'll ship them right to your door.
Yeah.
But that right there will really help out with circulation.
And make sure you have good shoes, and make sure if you don't have good balance, and you have handles that you can grip onto, and make sure there's a little rail around. I mean, you make sure, before you do any of that kind of stuff, you better check with your doctor to make sure your cardiovascular system can handle it, so you don't give yourself a heart attack trying to do this.
But you stack that with the magnesium, the vitamin E, the HGH stimulate,
and the C.
And see, you'll really get some good results with circulation, especially if you're having issues with swollen ankles. And
plus,
like that.
If you sit a lot.
Yes, now, gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
It even does it to me. If I'm at the office or I'm on the computer, I'm in there for like an hour or two, and I stand up, and I'm like, dude, I got to stretch. I got to move. I'm not used to – even after this show, I'm getting up after the show sometimes. It's an hour straight, no commercials. We don't get a break. Thanks to you guys, we gotta continue this up now. we did it for so long with no commercials.
Precedent.
No, we say if we ever put like a 5 or 10 minute commercial in the middle of this show, oh my gosh, everybody'd go berserk. They're so used to it all the time.
Just buy your toothpaste and your products from us, and we don't have to do commercials. Thank you.
Yes. I know some of the ones we have on there, like Gab and stuff, I think they have some commercials that they put on there. I have nothing to do with that. They forced us to do some of that on there.
What's the name of that channel we're on with that?
I forgot. I think those are Rumble.
Yeah, those are not our commercials.
No, it has nothing to do with us. It's a premium channel. They forced us to do that on some of this. But you can also watch it right here. I mean, you can watch
But those
the
are
show.
Not our commercials. We do not endorse those products.
No, you can watch the show right here, and I mean, that's on a regular basis. I mean, it's
just go to Global Store and watch it. You don't get the commercials.
Yeah,
it's easier.
There's you. Hey,
there I am. Look a little yellow.
There's me.
You look a little yellow. We got to lighting's got to get better in here. It's awful.
Yeah. Well, anyways, guys, appreciate the support. Thank you for getting the truth out there. Make sure you're signing up for the podcast every single day. Get the updates on here. First name, last name, email, Brower Show, and Health Master. Subscribe. And if you want to take advantage of this, this will be on sale for probably about a week with the shaker. Months ago, still got a little purple stick. I got to finish in here. Shaker, GHI, magnesium, great stack. If you're trying to start on something as far as detox, getting brain fog clear, getting inflammation down, this is the thing to go with. This is why Doug's been really hammering it so hard. He's getting great results.
I mean, it helps rebuild that liver.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. And remember that we can do all things through Christ.
Yes.
And it's the righteousness, peace, and joy through the infilling of the Holy Spirit that brings you true peace. And that's the one thing I've seen on dating apps people really want. It may not be about the looks. It may not be about anything, but it's about peace. If you can't bring peace to a relationship and all you want to bring is turmoil and conflict, You need to move on. You need to swipe left or swipe right and get out of that mess. Because if you have somebody that's going to always be fighting and wanting to argue with you, it's time to walk away. I mentioned that.
So thank you guys for the support. Email us, call us if you need anything, 1-800-726-1834. And be sure, if you guys need the expedited shipping option, especially in certain areas of the state that are getting slow sometimes during summer, use that. We get your package out to you super quick. If you're international, take advantage of our DHL Express option.
That's fast, man.
That's fast. I mean, sometimes stuff gets to Australia faster than it gets to California.
It's crazy.
It's nuts. So thank you, my friends. We'll talk to you on the show tomorrow, as always.
Hey, I love you guys. Thanks for your support. We'll be right back.